Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Thank you for being here today. My name is Jacob, and I get to be the student pastor here at Grace River. So I get to pastor our middle school and our high school students, and we meet every single Thursday from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. And so if you're a middle school or a high school student, you're more than welcome to join us every single Thursday here at Grace River. But today, I get the opportunity to share with you in week 3 of our sermon series called Life Hacks. This sermon series is all about these simple yet powerful truths that, again, as I just prayed, if you actually apply them to your life, have the ability to transform your life. My goal, my hope for you is that you wouldn't just hear the words that I am giving today, the words that we're going to read about in Scripture, but that you would be somebody that would hear them and act on them. Because hearing things and acquiring a bunch of knowledge never changed anybody. If we want to live transformed lives, if we want to become more like Jesus, we have to apply the things that we've learned. And over the last 2 weeks, Chris has hit probably the two biggest hot topics in following Jesus and really in life for that matter. And so I don't know how I'm going to top that, but last week the first 2 weeks, he talked about anxiety and then forgiveness. I mean, those are like the two biggest ones that I need help with. Maybe you could relate a little bit with that. And so I hope that those last 2 weeks were able to really encourage you. And if you weren't here, I want to encourage you to go back on our Facebook or on YouTube and watch those sermons. They are readily available. And so at the end of the day, though, we want to hear from God's word, and we want to act on God's word. And so today's life hack is this: change your thinking, change your life. Change your thinking, change your life. If you're taking notes, which I strongly suggest that you do, I encourage all of our students every single Thursday to take notes. I believe that whenever you take notes, there's something really powerful that happens when you write something down. It gets implanted into your mind, and we're going to be talking all about this today. It gets implanted into your mind, it trickles down to your heart, and then you can live it out. And so I promise this is not school, but I do want to encourage you guys to take notes. And if you don't have a notebook, go to Target this week and buy one. It'll change your life if you bring a notebook to church, and Chris is going to love that. So change your thinking, change your life. And I promise this is not a self-help talk. This actually happens to be one of the most spiritual things that you can do. Change your thinking, because the life that you are living right now in many ways is a reflection of the thoughts that you've been thinking. Romans 12:2 is going to be the launching pad for this entire sermon, and I'm going to keep coming back to Romans 12:2, and I have it in the NLT on the screen, and I also love the NIV version of this verse, but in the NLT it says, "Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think." Notice, it does not say that you are transformed by trying harder. It doesn't say that you are transformed by behaving better. It says that you are transformed by changing the way that you think. Again, as I mentioned just a moment ago, I love the way that the NIV version puts it. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." I love that imagery. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's the same idea. God changes your life by changing the way that you think, which means that if your mind does not change, then your life will not change. Understand, though, that your mind is simply the starting point, not the stopping point. I'm going to talk a lot about the connection between your mind, your heart, and your life. Your mind is simply, you have to understand this pipeline, your mind is simply the starting point, not the stopping point. If you just simply work on fixing your thoughts, that's great, but don't stop there. That's what I'm trying to get at. What happens in your mind does not stay in your mind. It moves, it travels, and it affects and it shapes who it is that you're becoming. This pipeline that I was talking about just a moment ago is this, that your heart or your thoughts form your heart. Your thoughts, your brain, your thoughts form your heart, and your heart forms your life. And so when God says to change the way that you think in Romans 12:2, it's not just about better thoughts. I'm not standing here on this stage thinking or telling you that you just need to think happy thoughts, like that's going to fix all of life's problems, because it's not. What's going to fix your problems is you living a transformed life, and that starts with you fixing your thoughts, you changing your thoughts. Jesus speaks a lot, though, about the heart. So we talk about the mind, we talk about the heart, we talk about your life. What does the Bible say about your heart? It says some pretty black and white things, some pretty clear instruction on your heart that I really want you to pay attention to. It says this in Luke 6:45, that a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. I love this. I want you to highlight, underline, write this down if you're taking notes. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says it like this: guard your heart above all else. That's black and white. That's as clear as it gets. Guard your heart above all else. Why? For it determines the course of your life. So it speaks a lot about the importance of you protecting your heart. But what if protecting your heart, which is the wellspring of life, another version says, what if protecting your heart starts with you protecting your mind? Because your heart is shaped by what your mind consumes. Are you guys following along, or are you guys asleep? Naomi's with me over here. Thank you, Naomi. I appreciate you. I'm gonna start screaming here in a minute. Wake you guys up. Do you understand that concept? Your heart is shaped by what your mind consumes. My youth pastor growing up, he told me this four-worded statement that I'll literally never forget. I heard it as a little ninth grade boy, as awkward as I was with my shaved head. I was an awkward kid in high school. You guys would have laughed at me. But I heard this statement, and it's literally stuck with me since that moment that I heard it. And it's this phrase, garbage in, garbage out. And I think that this phrase has the ability to stick with you because it's four words. You can remember four words, all right? Everybody got it? Yeah. Everybody knows the statement now? You got it implanted into your mind? I want you to remember this over the next 10 years, all right? 20, 30. I want you to remember this for the rest of your life, okay? Garbage in, garbage out. What you allow into your mind will eventually flow into your life. Now, let me make this really personal. Let me connect some dots for you. This might step on your toes a little bit. That includes the shows that you watch. That includes the music that you listen to. That includes the news that you are consumed by. That includes the social media that you can't stop scrolling. That includes the friendships that you entertain. And I'll tell you right now, my students that are in the room, my middle school and high school students, you guys know this. I get passionate about the importance of friendships. You guys don't want me to preach on friendships. I've seen it in my life, the power of friendships in a positive and a negative way. Like, your friends are shaping you more than you realize. I don't care if you're 20, 30, 40, or 80 years old. Your friends are shaping you more than you realize. I was a senior in high school, and I had to make this decision. Am I going to follow what my friends are doing, or am I going to take a step back? And as a senior in high school, I went through the hardest season of my life dealing with loneliness and depression, because what I did was I made this decision to take a step back. And as a result, they took a step out of my life. But I look back, and I am forever grateful that I made that decision. I went through 1 year of pain, but I went to college, and I met some amazing friends who loved Jesus, and I don't know if I'd be in ministry today. I don't even know if I'd be following God today if I was following the footsteps of my friends. Like, my friends were shaping me far more than I realized, and it took me until my senior year to realize that, so I took a step back, and they took a step out, and it sucked. I'm not going to lie to you. But I'm forever grateful for that decision because I realized the power and the influence that they had in my life. What we have to understand is that none of these things that I just mentioned are neutral. None of them are neutral. Every single one of these things is forming you in more ways than you realize. Some of you are wondering why you feel so anxious and insecure and angry and numb, but can I just be honest? Like, if we were to take a look at your mental diet, you would be suffering. You'd be struggling. You're on the struggle bus over here because of what you have fed your mind. And for some of you, you've been feeding your mind with junk for years, and it's become the norm in your life, and you're wondering, why do I feel like this? But it's because of your actions. I'm sorry. I'm just being real. Actually, I'm not sorry. I'm sorry that I'm saying sorry because I'm not actually sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Thank you, Michelle. Yeah. You know, I had to confront this with myself recently. It was, I'm heavily influenced. That's me to a T. Like, I was wired to be heavily influenced. And one of the ways that I was influenced is a way that I'm not proud of. The women in the room, you guys are going to know what I'm talking about. The men, you probably don't know what this TV show is, but I stand up here a little embarrassed to tell you the show that I was watching. It was The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. Anybody know this show? Stephanie in the back, you, yep. I got you, yeah. I was a 28-year-old alpha male watching The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, wondering what am I doing with my life? Guys, garbage in, garbage out. This was the epitome of garbage TV. I'll just be honest with you. It's full of gossip. If you know these people that are on this reality show, like, you don't want to emulate your life and your marriage after these people. Just putting that out there. Like, it's dumb TV. I'm not going to lie to you. But I got sucked in, and I was hooked. Next thing I know, I watched, like, 4 episodes back to back to back to back, and I was like, okay, something's got to break. And all the women in the room, you guys are like, wow, Jacob, I can't believe you watched that. Yeah, it's embarrassing. But I'm not perfect, okay? So I was watching that show, and I had this moment where I was asking, like, what am I doing with my life? And in reality, it really began affecting me in negative ways. I had to ask myself this question, and I promise you, this is a conviction in my own heart. I'm not here to Jesus juke you at all. This is my own life. This is my own story. I had to ask myself, is this helping me to become the person that God is calling me to be, or is it distracting me? It was in that moment I stopped watching, and I didn't struggle with cutting it out of my life. I wasn't, like, addicted to that stupid show, but I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that word. Don't tell anybody, okay? I hope Chris isn't in here. But I had to cut that out of my life. And, you know, the same thing is true with the music that I was listening to. I am heavily influenced by music. I feel music. It's how I connect. I am just wired up that way. I can stand and worship and be in tears because I'm moved by what God is really doing through that moment. Like, I feel music. And maybe for you, you don't, but I feel it. And I'm not telling you that I'm, like, a fan of Kendrick Lamar, but I do love me some Luke Combs. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Country music. Praise the Lord. Some of you guys are like, country music is of Satan. And I like country music, all right? Luke Combs, that's my guy. Ella Langley? Yeah. 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 I love country music, right? Choosing Texas, that's a great song, by the way. But we're going to move on. But anyways, I stood on this stage last March, and I was preaching to our students this sermon, Garbage In, Garbage Out. Not this exact sermon, but a sermon that was focused on garbage in, garbage out. And I challenged them to do something with me. It was listen to worship music, listen to Christian music for 1 month. 1 month, nothing else. 1 month, and see what God does in your life. And I remember being a kid, and I would listen to Caleb, and they would always challenge you to do that, and then I would listen to it. And to be honest with you, this is my hot take personally. I think that Christian music just got good like a few years ago. Whenever I was in middle school and high school, Christian music was like nails on a chalkboard. So I would take this challenge, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to listen to this anymore. But I challenged them last March to listen to Christian music for 1 month. And I wasn't going to ask them to do something that I wasn't willing to do myself. So I stood on this stage and I challenged them and I challenged myself. This is what we're going to do. I don't think anybody took it, but I did. And 1 month had passed and I was like, I don't really have the desire to go back. And so then I pushed the field goal post a little bit further. And I said, you know what, from March to the end of June, which was the time of camp, I'm going to only listen to Christian music. And we come back from camp, and I had no desire to go back. 13 months later, it's April, last March I stood on that stage. 13 months later, it's all that I listened to. I have no desire. Yes, like, those songs are great, and if they come on while I'm at the store, it's great, and I bop my head to Choosing Texas. It's a good song, right? But I have no desire, personally, to listen to that kind of music. Like, I want to listen to worship music. It is what has consumed my thoughts. I'm not saying this, though, to be legalistic. I'm not saying this because it's something that you all have to do. It's a conviction that I have had in my own life, because what I want to do is I want to be as intentional with my life as I can possibly be, because I realize that what I feed my mind affects my heart, which in turn affects my life. And I want to live in this world and see how close I can get to Jesus. That's what I want for my life, and what that's going to require is intentionality. And if you want to live in this world but not of this world, you want to live in this world but get as close to Jesus as you can, it means that you might just have to reevaluate the things that you watch, the things that you listen to, the people that influence you, etc. And it's going to be hard. Because what do you mean? I'm going to be different. Everybody's going to laugh at me and I'm not going to fit in anymore. Who cares? Like, if Jesus is your number one purpose in this life, he's the one that you want to follow more than anything, give it everything that you have. You've got to starve Satan in your life. Satan wants a foothold. You don't give him a foothold. And if that foothold comes in any of those things that I talked about, it's going to be hard, but you have to be intentional. Now, I would tell you that Your thoughts can be incredibly tricky. This is where I want to slow down for just a moment. Your thoughts can be incredibly tricky. Some of you have thoughts that you wish that you didn't have. Thoughts that are leading you down a terribly bad mental health space. You wish that you didn't have that metaphorical bully in your brain. I want so badly to not have this thought, but I just can't kick it out of my mind. Like, it lives rent-free in your mind, and you wish that it wasn't there. I would tell you that you can't control every thought that enters your mind. Some of you hear this message, and you already feel defeated because you're like, Jacob, you don't understand the thoughts that I have. Like, the thoughts that I have are far greater than me simply kicking out bad music and not watching The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, and I get it. Like, the thoughts that some of you have, I'll just be honest, are going to require some counseling, some professional help. And it's okay to admit that you need help, but it's, for some of you, far greater than you just simply kicking something as silly as that out of your life. I would tell you that you are not responsible for every thought that enters your mind. You are responsible for the thoughts that you entertain. Do you get what I'm saying? 2 Corinthians 10:5 in the NIV, I love the way that the NIV puts it. At the end of that verse, it says to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. I love that language. Take every thought captive. Not every single thought in your mind deserves to stay. Martin Luther, he said it like this. You can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Silly illustration, but here's how we're going to connect it. It's so good. The thoughts are going to fly in, but you get to decide. You, right here, right now, in this moment, in this coming week, you get to decide, will these thoughts simply pass through, or will they build a nest in my mind? And my hope is that you wouldn't let that happen, that you would just simply let them pass through. So the question then becomes, how do we do this? Like, I understand now that the power of my thoughts, that I need to take captive my thoughts. Like, I get all of that now, but when the rubber meets the road, like, how do I actually do that? I want to make this really practical and clear for you today. Number one, cultivate your thoughts. Philippians 4:8 says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." If you're taking notes, I want you to write down every single one of those attributes really quickly. Take a picture of it if you have to. Like, these are the things that I want to focus on. If I want to live intentional, if I want a life that is focused on Jesus, it's going to start with Philippians 4:8. That's what I want for my life. And I would tell you that these thoughts are not automatic. They require a lot of intentionality. You don't stumble into this sort of thinking. You don't find yourself in this sort of thinking wondering, how in the world did I get here? Like, my life is pretty good. It requires intentionality. You have to choose what you dwell on. Some of you are dwelling on things that aren't on this list. You find yourself dwelling on worst-case scenarios and lies about yourself. A big one is you find yourself dwelling on the past mistakes in your life. And now it's shaping your life and it's become your identity. Like, this is just who I am. I am a mistake. I am my own failure. I am my sin. And now you're up here saying, Jacob, fix your thoughts on these things. Like, I don't know how to do that. It requires a lot of intentionality, and it's hard because the world does not focus on these things. The people in your workplace don't focus on these things. Maybe some of the people in your family, when you go to family lunch after this, don't focus on these things. Some of your friends don't focus on these things. But this is what God is asking of us. Again, if we want to live in this world but not of this world, it's going to require intentionality. We want to live in this world trying to figure out how close we can get to Jesus, and this is a great place to start. You have to start cultivating better thoughts. Number two, elevate your input. Elevate your input. If garbage in leads to garbage out, this is so deep. I am the deepest theological pastor at this church. That's sarcasm, by the way. If garbage in leads to garbage out, guys, this is going to blow your mind. Your hair is all going to fly back. Then truth in leads to truth out. Guys, I'm not trying to preach over your head. I'm trying to live this out in my own life. And I think this is something that we can all comprehend. Every single one of us. I don't care if you're in sixth grade or you're 96. Like, this is something that we can all comprehend. If garbage in leads to garbage out, then truth in leads to truth out. You have to start changing what it is that you consume. Maybe for you, maybe, just maybe, this is for you to figure out. Maybe it means cutting out a TV show that has been consuming your time, that is influencing you in a not so hot way. I don't know. Maybe you're influenced by TV. I happen to think that you probably are. Because what do you mean? You're just watching a show just to watch it? Like, there's some sort of attachment that you have to it. But you have to recognize its power in your life. And it's if it is influencing you in a negative way, cut it out. Black and white. I'm going to make it simple. Cut it out. Maybe you challenge yourself to stop listening to a certain style of music, and you would focus on maybe doing the challenge that I stood on this stage telling 80 middle school and high school students to do. And you would say, you know what, I'm going to only listen to worship music for 1 month, and I'm going to just see what God does in my life. And I would tell you, worship music, guys, has gotten so much better than it used to be in the early 2000s. Don't cross me. Some of you, you're like, I love that kind of music. I think you're wrong. That old worship music is, anyway, so I'm not going to go down that path. Yeah, never mind. I was going to say something, but I think that worship music has gotten so good. And if you like the old stuff, go to it. It's better than what you're listening to right now. I'll be sure of that. But if you're heavily influenced by music, maybe you would decide that you're going to take the 30-day challenge and you're only going to listen to worship music. Maybe you'd spend less time on social media. Like, you realize that social media has sucked the life out of you. Guys, I find myself, this is my next step. I stand on here on the stage today to tell you that I'm not better than you. Like, this right here is my next step. I have to spend less time on social media. I am consumed by social media. I got music down. That's all I listen to. Worship music, great. I don't watch bad TV. Worst thing I watch is the NBA playoffs. Go Spurs, go, baby. They play tonight. I'm so excited. I'm a Spurs fan through and through, diehard. But I'm from Texas, though, so choosing to, never mind. I would have no idea what I'm talking about right now. Maybe you'd spend less time, though, on social media. It's a suck for so many of you. And it has a death grip on your mind. It has a death grip on your heart. And it's time that you put your phone away and you spend more time with your kids. You spend more time with your spouse. You spend time doing some things around the house that need to get done. Like, I don't know what it is for you. Maybe you would decide to surround yourself with people who speak life into your life. You would reevaluate some friendships. I would tell you, you don't need to step out of their life, but maybe for some of you, you need to take a step back. And maybe for you, it's going to end up in the same way that it ended up for me, where you take a step back and they decide that they want to take a step out. So be it. Because my main purpose in this life is to follow Jesus with everything that I have. And if this person is influencing me in a way that isn't pushing me to become more like Jesus, I'm not sacrificing my desire for Jesus to be your friend. I'm sorry. Not sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Yet again. That's just the reality. Maybe you'd start spending more time in God's word. I think it's a good practice for you to cut something out of your life, but replace it with something that's good. Don't just cut something out of your life and just, like, the time that you spend on social media, let's say that you spend 3 hours a day on social media and you're like, okay, I'm going to spend 30 minutes on social media a day. The other 2.5 hours, you're not going to replace with something that's good. You'll probably go back to that bad thing. You have to replace the bad with the good. I know, this is really deep, guys. Your mental diet matters more than you realize. The third thing is to surrender your mind. This is where it goes far deeper than your habits. This is surrender. Because at some point, it stops being about managing your thoughts and it starts being about the one that's in control of your mind. This is exactly what Romans 12:2 is talking about. God transforming your life by changing the way that you think. This is far more than behavior modification. This is heart transformation. Allowing God to transform you. This is so much more than just a one-time moment, a decision that you could ever make, though. You're like, yeah, God has transformed my life. 40 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus, and now you look at your life, and It doesn't really resemble somebody that is following Jesus. Why? Because it's a daily decision where you would say, God, take my thoughts. I surrender my thoughts to you. Before you go into that meeting with your boss that you want to hit, your boss crosses you or your coworker crosses you, you're like, God, you better take control of my thoughts in this moment. Like, it's a daily, sometimes it's a multiple times a day decision that you have to make. I've seen this in my own life. I've seen the power of surrendering my mind to God. Like, I've seen it. I'm a living testimony of that. It's changed me. It's made me a better Christian. It's made me a better husband. It's made me a better father. It's made me a better coworker. It's made me a better friend, a better leader. And I have not arrived. Let me clarify. I have not arrived. I am not perfect at this. Like, I have work to do in my life, but I've grown. I'm not who I used to be, and praise God for it. And that's what I want you to simply say is like, man, if I was to evaluate my life, am I who I used to be? Like, you're not exactly who you want to be just yet, but I'm not who I used to be. Praise God for it. That's my life. Like, I'm not who I used to be. I have not arrived. I'm still on this journey of following Jesus. But I would tell you that I have worked at surrendering my mind to God, and it's changed me. Don't you want that? Like, don't you want to be a better spouse, a better husband, a better wife? Don't you want to be a better father, a better mother, a better friend, a better coworker? Every single person in the room, like, if you're saying no, you're lying to yourself. Every single person in the room wants that for their lives. I would tell you that that does not happen by accident. It happens when you surrender your mind to Him. And so the next steps for today happened to be my 3 points. I'm not going to give you guys 3 more next steps. Like, these are the next steps. And you can find yourself in any one of these 3. What is your next step? Recognize it, and this week, commit to it. Work on it, and watch what God could do in your life. Friends, you can do this. I know it's really hard, but we want to be people that are in this world but not of this world. We want to be people that are in this world but people that are passionately following Jesus with everything inside of us. It's going to require God's help. You can do this. You can change your thinking, and when you do, God will change your life. Can I pray for you this morning? God, we love you. And we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you that you give us a roadmap to change our thinking in Scripture. God, may we be people that are committed to your word. That we would be people that are influenced by your word and not the world. God, we want to be in this world but not of it. And that's going to require a conscious decision that is made in this moment where we would say, God, we want more of you and less of everything else. God, we want more of you. We want what your heart desires for our life. So God, in this moment, we surrender our minds to you. God, we need you today and this coming week. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to invite you guys to stand with me.